Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Noemi Barris. Noemi is an artist who specializes in creating hand-sewn collages on various mediums, including canvas, paper, and digital formats. Her educational background in art therapy and positive psychology deeply influences her work, imbuing it with a therapeutic and uplifting essence. Noemi's artistry is characterized by her ability to transform everyday materials into extraordinary pieces of art, making her a perfect match for platforms focused on creativity and spiritual awakening. Her work, primarily consisting of eclectic, mixed-media collages made from vintage materials, embodies the theme of rediscovering creativity and experiencing spiritual renewal. Through a unique amalgamation of storytelling, humor, and a profound connection to memories in the natural world, Noemi offers fresh insights into the nexus of art and spirituality. Having resided in Cyprus, Europe for over a decade, her multicultural experiences infuse her creations with a distinctive richness and diversity, enhancing the appeal of her art to a broad audience. She always loves music and playing on her handpan, tongue, and frame drum, and is also a walker who walks every single day. And with that, Noemi, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It is an absolute pleasure having you here today.
Thank you so much for this introduction, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And you've certainly earned that introduction for sure, just with the body of work you've done and the impact that you've had on so many individuals through your own business ventures, which we'll get into in a little bit. I always like to tell our audience a little bit of background in terms of how we met. And we met through, I call him the ultimate matchmaker in the LinkedIn medium, and that is Keith McNally. Keith introduced me to Noemi, thought it would be great if we had a conversation. Noemi and I just hit it off right off the bat. She is a podcast agent, and she has referred several of her clients to me for pre-chat interviews, and every one of them has been just a wonderful match for the atmosphere and the mission that I'm trying to create with the Teaching Journeys podcast. That's how we've gotten to this point, and I suspect we are going to have a continued ongoing relationship. So, and if you want to add anything to that, Noemi, I'm good with that.
Thank you for your kind words, Dave. Yes, I hope we continue work together in the future as well. Absolutely.
Okay. My first question, please tell our listeners about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions.
That's a very deep question for sure. I was born and raised in Hungary, in Central Europe, and I've been living in Cyprus for 13 years. But my cultural background, language background is, you know, it's from Hungary. And I lived in the country until I was like 23 years old. And then I left Hungary with my husband. I couldn't find a job. And I didn't really fit in my community or into the country spirits for the whole. And so I just wanted to leave. And so we moved to Ireland, and it was a beautiful country, obviously green rolling fields everywhere and very inspiring place. And we lived there for 7 years, then moved to Cyprus almost 13 years ago. So travel and all these multicultural experiences really defined my life and how I how I adapt myself to different cultures in Europe. I always loved traveling, and probably the furthest I've been, that was Morocco in North Africa, and I just loved it. It's kind of my spiritual place. And so travels and also languages really defined me as a person, because I have a master's degree in Scandinavian linguistics, and I studied Danish and Swedish at the university in Hungary. I'm a linguist by trade, and I always love learning new languages because you have just so many different personalities when you speak a different language. And so obviously my mother tongue is Hungarian, but I speak Danish, Swedish, English, obviously. And I learn Greek, I speak Spanish, and so languages, culture, travels, they were really important in my life. And then I was always an artistic type since I was a kid. I loved drawing, I loved painting, I loved craft, any kind of craft thing that I could get my hands on. And my parents always supported me. I loved dancing, I did ballet, and I always loved music. Like, I come in a music nerd. So art was always present in my life and played a very, very important part. And then I had this magic moment when that was 2012. So that was actually around this time of the year, back like 12 years ago, when I was expecting my son, my only son. And somehow it just came to me that I have to make collages. And I sat down and I made my very first collage, and I was expecting my son. And I didn't know why I started it, what was the meaning behind it, but it was a really interesting moment. And I just, you know, remember that so clearly when I sat down and I put together one of my very colorful collages at the very beginning. And that was back in 2012. And since then, I just kept making these collages in very different formats and different mediums. So yes, there are so many things that inspire me in the world, even if I'm a walker, so I love walking. Even if I'm just outside, like, you know, the sunlight, I'm walking in the woods, so the trees, the leaves, the stream in the woods, everything inspires me. And yeah, just, it's so fascinating, like, living in this world and to be grateful and practicing gratitude while you do that. I think that comes through my art as well, just to be happy and grateful for every moment we have on this earth.
You could have picked any creative expression of art. What is it about collage work that stands out for you more than, let's say, any other, like painting or any other type of creative expression?
That's a great question, and no one asked me this question before. I love repurposing and recycling things. I'm really on the side of like protecting the environment, and I love vintage. I love anything that is vintage. So what I use, old photographs. Actually, if someone watches, you know, on YouTube, the intro, you can see me a collage just right up here. And this is one of my collages. So I use like old lace, old textiles, vintage photographs, anything I can get my hands on and anything I can repurpose and reuse to create something new and add a new meaning to it. And as far as I know, there are not many people who use the same technique as I use, because I hand sew everything on the canvas. It's hard work because it's hard on your hands and fingers. And usually people just, you know, cut and paste collages or digital collages. But this one is something unique I came up with. And I just love doing it and just love using all kinds of materials. And I'm not a hoarder, but I love collecting things because I never know what I can use them on my collages. So it's just so fascinating to put something together. It's like a puzzle when you make a collage, because I don't have a specific plan. Maybe I have just a focal point of the collage. Like in this case, it was like an old family picture, and I don't know who these people are. Maybe my mom told me there were some relatives or something. And it's a picture of their marriage, like a wedding photo. And that was the focal point. And I built my collage around it, because just things just coming to me as like, okay, I have this photograph. What else should I put in? It's like a puzzle. I find the puzzle pieces step by step. I take my time. And I have so many collages in my head. Sometimes I have to make notes as I go, what will be the next one? The next one. And I just, you know, make notes of that. So that's going to be my next project, my next puzzle.
For you, what has been the therapeutic benefit of collage work for you? Has that helped you get through any challenges in your life?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, in 2019, after 3 years of long and very painful battle with cancer, my dad passed away, and also my grandmother just a couple of months later. And so basically, I'm an only child. I only have my mom left. And so it was like half of my family just disappeared from here. And the COVID hit at the beginning of 2020. We lost our business basically to COVID because it was an online travel related business. So family members gone. So I had to cope with grief. Business gone. I have to figure out to find another business model. So there was a lot going on in my life. And we were like cooped up in our homes. We couldn't go anywhere. There was like lockdown all the time. We couldn't do anything. And so I came up with the idea, okay, let's do collage every single evening. And after work, when, you know, everyone is gone from the family, I was in bed. And I always tell this on podcasts that I like, you know, put my headphones on. I had my favorite music or favorite audiobook on. I love, you know, listening to books or reading books. I'm a bookworm. And then I was in my zone and I started to making these collages one by one. And I just enjoyed the journey so much that I almost forgot about my pain while doing these collages. And they really helped me to relax. I was in my zone and nothing as really mattered anymore. And I just enjoyed every moment of it. It was such an incredible journey. And then I realized, that's like, oh my gosh, this helps me to not to focus on the news about COVID and not to focus on all the bad things that are happening in the world. But I'm in my own little safe bubble where I can express my emotions. And it didn't really matter how disturbing my art was. I could still, it was such a safe space to use. And instead of, you know, keep it bottled up inside or just swept under the carpet, I could put everything out there on that canvas. And I just enjoyed it. It was like a form of meditation for me.
And particularly, there are a lot of individuals that process a lot of events visually better than they do verbally. So, yeah. And I think, you know, I teach art students at the Pratt Munson School of Art in my hometown of Utica, New York. And these are individuals that are very multisensory. They think very multidimensionally. They are visual learners, and they are very deep thinkers. And sometimes I'll look at their artist statements, and their artist statements are just like unbelievable in terms of, you know, the little bit of the background, you know, with the piece. And for me, and I, you know, I'm not an artist, but I think the artist statement really adds a lot of context. You get to that piece of art. You get an idea of the mindset of the artist at that point, what challenges they were dealing with, how their art translated into resolving those challenges. So, and I could see for you where that would be kind of like a totally immersive experience for you, where you could just block out all the distractions of the outside world, and just focus on creation. And also, I could see that it was also being the ultimate form of mindfulness as well, too.
Absolutely, 100%. I could distance and detach myself from everything. And it was just so uplifting. And I just started to feel better. So that was when I came up with the idea. Not back then, because back then, I just focused on myself. And I focused on my own healing journey. And I didn't have any idea that what I was going to do 4 years later, like sitting here talking about art therapy and positive psychology and helping people to cope with stress, trauma, anxiety with the help of art. And yeah, I didn't know that back then. That was the, you know, beginning of this journey, that I can help people with that. And art is just a powerful tool that anyone can use. And you don't have to be an artist in order to do that. Because everyone has creativity. It's just the whole world just, you know, we were born with creativity, but the school system, life, world, just stopped us doing things that we're supposed to do, because everyone can doodle, everyone can make a collage. I mean, you only need a pair of scissors, glue, paper, maybe a newspaper, magazine, you cut it up, you put it together. There you go. That's a collage. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to write Frida Kahlo to do that. So it's so easy. And yeah, because some people just, they have all this excuse that, I'm not an artistic type. I can't do anything. It's like, yes, you can. Everybody can do that. And you don't even have to show it to anyone. It can be private. It just helps you to cope with anything that happens to you in life.
And specifically around grief, there are art therapists who will do collage work to help individuals express the pain of loss. And I've seen those type of workshops, and it's a very, very effective tool, because when individuals, they start talking about why they picked the pieces that they picked, whether it's magazine articles or pictures, it forms a story. And it's like their own unique story through art. And like you said, you don't have to be an artist. You just have to have a little bit, I think, curiosity and just a desire to try some new things.
Absolutely. I agree with you so much, David. And I remember a time that my dad was in transition. That was back in 2019. And I was back and forth between Cyprus and Hungary to visit him and to be with him. And actually, yeah, he passed away on my son's birthday. So it's coming up actually May because of the recording of this interview. And I remember that I started to make digital collages during that time while I was sitting with him, because he didn't really talk to us anymore, but we were with him. And those collages were really dark and really disturbing, maybe to some people. I shared it with my followers on Instagram, and I shared it with my friends on Facebook. And because, you know, when you talk about grief and when you talk about someone in transition, everybody, it's still a taboo. And people don't like to talk about that, but it's part of life. And that's how I was coping. Then that's why I shared it, because it might help other people to cope with grief or with transition, because he left us a long time ago before he was in transition because of the cancer. And it was a hard time, but I was taking nature photographs while I was at home in Hungary. And it was such an interesting time, because I was still, you know, very focused on my art while I was grieving. And it really helped.
Well, you know, you mentioned some of the dark pieces, and there's creative expressions that are dark. I mean, you take a look at writings that are released when an individual is at the height of emotional pain due to loss. Those are very dark, very sad, but it's part of, like you said, it's part of life. And the best spiritual work I think that we do that cultivates spiritual awareness is not when you have, you know, you hear harps blazing, angels coming down and saying, Noemi, you got this. The most meaningful spiritual work that we do is when we take a look at those dark parts of our experience, we can understand it. We can in some way embrace it and embrace it for what it has to teach us about ourselves and about the importance of being whole and genuine.
That reminds me the time I was an exchange student in Denmark when I was in my teenage years, and I spent a year there. That's how I learned Danish. And Danish culture is very interesting, because they're supposed to be the happiest nation on earth. However, when I went to university, we watched all these Scandinavian art movies, and they are the darkest movies I've ever seen in my life. And I asked Danish people, so how can you make so dark movies with so much trouble and pain? Why you are the happiest nation on earth? And they said, yes, because that's the way we express ourselves, you know, our darkest and deepest pain, why we are the happiest nation, because they use this form. Like Scandinavian art movies are just very famous, like worldwide, and from Sweden, especially from Denmark. And yes, you can be still happy and you will get there, but it has to come out. You have to release that from your body and from your mind and soul, and to live with it and express your feelings.
Yeah, because for me, if you don't release it, it's only going to result in physical problems, more emotional yes. trauma. So that has to be released in a healthy way. And there's a lot of ways in addition to art that we can do that.
Yeah.
One of the things you mentioned is that positive psychology influences your work. What aspects of positive psychology most influence your creation of collages?
I think for me, the way it started, it definitely helped to relax. So it promotes relaxation. And I think it's the best way to relax. And I can just recommend it to anyone instead of scrolling on your phone or online, because it's really a stress-reducing activity. You are in the zone, you can relax, and you just feel more calm and centered and at peace. And I think that's really important, to be just calmer, especially in today's world, and not to pay attention all the time to everything that's going around in the world. And, you know, everything is just about like fear of missing out. I might just take your time, relax, breathe, and enjoy the moment. And there are so many amazing art forms that you can use in positive psychology as well. Like you can color mandalas. I mean, that was just amazing. I remember that I have a short story connected to that, because my mom visited us during COVID. That was just right before COVID. So basically she's stranded here in Cyprus, like for 2 or 3 months. She couldn't go back home to Hungary because there were no flights. And I knew that she was really upset about it and nervous about it. And so I grabbed one of my mandala coloring books. I got it from a friend and I gave it to her with a couple of, you know, colored pencils. It's like, mom, like, dedicate time and space as like every day and just try to color them. And because she was a kindergarten teacher for like 4 years, she was happy to do that. She always loved arts as well. So she started doing it like every single day religiously. And it's really helped her to cope with stress while she was stranded here with us, with the family. And it wasn't an easy time for anyone, but it's like just coloring mandalas. It's so relaxing. And even your blood pressure drops. And also it's been proven that the creation of art or like coloring, it really increases the serotonin levels in your brain, which also helps to fight depression. So it's everything is related to something. It's like the domino effect. You start doing it and it's just good for you. It's good for your soul, good for your body, and good for your health. And you're relaxed. You feel so much better.
Yeah, what you described was almost like a positive psychology concept of called flow. And that's exactly what I was... You know, say you're totally engaged with your work and you're feeling challenged and productive, yeah. but you're one with that piece of art. It's like everything just kind of just comes out naturally.
Yes, you just, I mean, really it proves your self-esteem. You're just so happy and delighted when you finish the piece. It's so uplifting and it gives you a sense of just fulfillment that like, I'm happy and I created something and I can show it to the world if I want to, and I don't necessarily have to do that. But what I loved about creating collages is the journey. I mean, mm-hmm. that was me so much more important than getting something finished. Sometimes I got sad when I finished something and it's like, I always wanted to add more and more because it was just so, it was pulling me in and I want to add more, but sometimes obviously less is more. So then, okay, let's do another one. And it's just so exciting when you have a clean slate and you have a clean canvas and then you can start something new, something exciting. So it's so magical to do art and to do anything.
I always have a tremendous amount of admiration for anybody who can do art, any type of art form, because that's something I can't do. And I look at the work that my students have produced over the years, and it's just incredible, the talent that they have. And a couple of them have graciously shared artwork with me. They've done artwork for me. And it's just amazing. I get a sense of awe every time I look at it because it's just so beautiful. And I can get myself immersed in the message of that piece, in the structure of that piece. And it's just like all my troubles melt away just by, you know, it's like a great meditative experience for me.
Absolutely. That's why I love visiting museums. And I've been to many museums in Europe, in Spain, from Spain to Hungary, in Cyprus, because that's just immersing yourself in art and just looking at beautiful paintings or sculptures or anything. It's just so good for your soul, for sure. It's like a time travel that you do and discover like different worlds and different places. It's really amazing. And it also reminds me like what I try to say, because it says always a message behind every single collage or every single artwork that you do. And what I'm trying to make is to sew together my family's memories. And that's why we have this, that's why I have this vintage vibe, because I'm just trying to keep them as it's kind of diary. That's what my mom said when she saw a couple of my collages. She's like, you're writing a diary, but you're not writing it, but you're making, like, you sewing it together. And it's really connected to my Hungarian heritage, which is interesting because I left Hungary 20 years ago, like exactly 20 years ago. Like that was around this time of the year when I left. And I was like 24. And yeah, it was an interesting time, wild time of the life, because you leave your country behind and you have to establish yourself in a different environment. They speak different language and you got a job. So everything is new. But whatever happened in the past 20 years, I'm still connected to my roots, to my Hungarian heritage. And it really expresses that what I do and what I put on my collages too. I think it somehow subconsciously always comes to light. And I just had a chat with a Hungarian friend who also left Hungary like many, many years ago. And she told me, it's like, wow, your collages are really connected to Hungary. And I didn't even really realize that before. And yes, they are. Because it's part of me. It's my roots, my heritage. I think it's still important, together with my mother tongue, obviously.
Well, and I think for future generations of your family, preserving that history is key. And this way, the stories from the generations of your family before and after will continue through art or through any other type of narrative, whether it's writing or whether it's any other form of creative expression. So I think that is so important. I think particularly when you described your losses earlier, being, you know, with your father and then your grandmother, am I correct?
Grandmother, yep. Yes.
That I think, and it being an only child, I think preserving that history becomes even more important.
Yes, and just, yes, absolutely.
Is there anything else that inspires your collage work other than nature? Are there any other, elements that, or individuals or experiences that inspire your work?
Everything inspires me. It's so funny. Like, I love music. So music inspires me. So when I make collages, I always listen to music. Nothing else. So I can't watch TV or I can't listen to podcasts. I need music. Even I have my playlist for collage making. So it's really, I have a favorite French composer. His name is Jan Tiersen. Maybe I don't pronounce his name properly, but he basically composed the music to the to this famous French movie. And I'm putting a blank on this one. Let's go back to that later. Maybe it comes to my mind. But yeah, I love this movie and I love the soundtrack. And yeah, Emily's Wonderful Life or something like that's the movie. And the soundtrack was amazing. And it really inspires me. So any kind of music I have, I start to make collages. And also the Mediterranean lifestyle. Cyprus really inspires me because I've been living here for some time, more than a decade, as you mentioned. So yes, it definitely does. And even the old churches, the old Orthodox churches in Cyprus, there's so many beautiful places. And I try to visit as many places as I can. why I'm here. Anything inspires me, like, and it just, yeah, a good book, an artwork, a piece of music. Yeah, maybe a piece of textile that I never seen before, or something from a magazine. I mean, I'm still having these old magazines, and sometimes I, you know, go through them. It's like, oh my gosh, that picture is like perfect and I love it. I can use it. It's so inspiring. So I think for a collage artist, anything can inspire mm-hmm. you. And also I had a phase when I used very like natural materials to make collages on, like unusual materials like driftwood. So went to the beach, collected driftwood, and I started to like glue collages or make collages on them, or stones, like very flat stones from the beach. I mean, we live close to the beach here, to the Mediterranean Sea. And I collected flat stones, I brought them home, cleaned them, and I made collages, paper collages and stones. So I love every kind of medium and everything inspires me.
How has your passion for the creative arts inspired your mission with your business, Podcast Creations?
I think it's important to be creative when you are like a businesswoman or an entrepreneur. It's one of the key elements of being an entrepreneur. And it really helped me to develop as who I am today as an entrepreneur, because it really connects me to the other side of my brain. Because yeah, when you are artist, right brain, left brain. So this is like, it's so complex. And then you can use both when you're an entrepreneur and when you're an artist. And when you put these two together, I think it's a great combination to create something interesting and look at things from a different perspective, and not just from a business or my perspective, but from a more creative perspective and a different angle. And I think that really helps to develop you as an entrepreneur, because you become more interesting, and you can create better content maybe on social media because you're a creative. Because some people ask me sometimes, like, how can you make this, you know, content? I mean, this is like, you post photos and you do this and you do that. Like, yes, because that's part of me. And so when I go for my walk, as you mentioned, I'm a walker, I always take photos. And when something inspires me, it's like, oh my gosh, that would be so great for creating content on LinkedIn or on Facebook. And I do that. So it's somehow art, like social media content creation, it really melts together and it really helps me to create better content. And I was doing content creation for like, you know, in the past, since 2007, I became an entrepreneur. So 17 years, it's part of my life. And I always try to find unique things to, you know, to use in my posts. And that's how it incorporates into my life and business.
Well, the other thing too, the mindfulness that you apply to your collage work, you apply that same type of mindfulness when you match a client to a podcast. And I think that's also unique. You just don't give somebody a list of 10 podcasts and say, here, use my name and, you know, maybe you'll get a hit. It's you really take the time to think, where's this person going to be the best fit? What platform is going to be most receptive and appreciative of the message? And that, to me, is a form of mindfulness that I think if all business entrepreneurs had, they'd all be successful. Because essentially it's being empathic with the needs of the client that you're working with, as opposed to, okay, what do I need to do to get a commission? And it's in the long run, it means repeat business, high quality referrals, and just from the commitment to be creative and to be innovative, which to me is all involved in some of the best pieces of art around are the most creative and the most innovative pieces. So I think, yeah, I could see that. I could see where there's the overlap.
Yes. And also just to learn to listen to your clients. I think that's the most important things, and having like deeper conversations with them and understand where they're coming from and what they want to share and what's their story. Like, I really have to know your client's story, because everyone has a great story to share. Maybe they don't know it yet, but all like everyone has it, and to help them to develop these stories and to sometimes hold their hands and, you know, start on this podcasting journey. I think that's really important. And just really listen to them. What are their needs? What they need help with? Because that's the problem with today's world. One of the problems that we don't listen to each other. We are so occupied with everything around us, social media, phones, news, religion, politics, that we just forget to listen to each other. And I think that's so important in business. And just listen, and then you know how to help them.
Yeah, because you can't begin to determine how you can help somebody until you commit to listening to them first. You have to allow their narrative to unfold. You have to understand what their passions are, what their dreams are, what they want help with, what they feel where they feel their deficiencies are. You can't do any of that. You can't begin to develop a plan until you've established yourself as a listener. And I tell my students as well, too, at Utica University with the courses I teach, if you want to establish a therapeutic relationship with a client, you have to establish yourself as an active listener first. And then you can begin to share suggestions, but you can't do that until you give them a space for their story to unfold.
And it's the same with podcast hosts. Like, there are hosts that they don't really listen to their guests. And I think that's just so important, the active listening, that you really understand them, what they are telling you. And yeah, what the way you do your podcast, for example.
Well, thank you. And I didn't, by the way, my listeners, I didn't pay Noemi for that endorsement too, by the way. So, but thank you. When I undertook the podcast, when I developed the podcast, I wanted it to be an extension of how I am with people in everyday life, which is ask a question, get out of the way so that their story can unfold. And then when there's a natural pause, then I reflect or ask another question. So. And it's worked so far for me, you know, through the years that I've used it. So I think I'm just going to continue on that track and just refine it even more. But thank you for that. I really appreciate the endorsement. That's a nice way to end. That's a nice way to end my Friday, which is today. We are recording on a Friday. No, Amy, if you are going to leave our audience with just one thing today, what would that be?
Start creating art. Whatever you do, you can knit, you can crush it, you can doodle, you can make mandala, you can paint, you can finger paint. Even, you know, people can finger paint. You can make a gratitude jar. You can do anything. Just like, there's so many possibilities that just start creating art today. Just grab a piece of paper, do something with it, and keep repeating and be consistent and persistent with it, because it will help you to cope with stress, with anxiety, with grief, and all kind of mental or health problems that you have.
Well, thank you for that. And my last question, people want to contact you, find out more about retaining your services. What is the best way for them to do that?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always there. And you can type, my name is Noemi Burris, and you will find me. Also, I have an Instagram page for, especially for my art, and I'm creating content on Instagram. I have around 97,000 followers. I've been collecting them for a couple of years, and I just love doing that. It's my passion project. Also, my name, Noemi Burris, and I have a dedicated page for my art, and that's noemiburris.com. And if you are interested in podcast guesting by any chance, and you want to share your knowledge and story on podcasts, you can visit podcastconnections.co, and that's also me.
And all of your contact information, Noemi, will be in the program notes, in the show notes, both on YouTube and at rss.com. And if you are looking for a really, really great, innovative podcast agent, contact Noemi. You will not be disappointed.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Noemi, thank you so much for being a great guest contributor on the Teaching Journeys podcast today. I truly enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise, I really enjoyed our conversation, Dave, and it was an honor to be here.
Thank you. And with that, that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.